Commissioner Susan Weefald. The commission is meeting this afternoon in regard to case number RC08611, GTL Energy USA Limited, Coal Beneficiation Facilities, Stark County, jurisdictional determination. With me at this meeting is Commissioner Tony Clark, and I'm Commissioner Susan Weefald. And we also know I'm going to go around and introduce, have other people who are here today participating in this meeting introduce themselves for the record. And first we'll start with our own staff. Go ahead, Jim.
Jim Deitch, Director of the Reclamation Division.
All right.
Then Alana Jeffco-Sacco, she'll be in a minute. She'll also be participating.
All right, and she's legal counsel
legal
for the
counsel.
Commission. And then we have with us Dean Mose from the Reclamation Division and also Tom Rafferty from Commission staff. And then will the different parties introduce themselves, please? We'll start with Dakota Resource Council.
I'm Mark Kreshock from Dakota Resource Council. I'm the staff director from Dickinson.
I'm Paul Blackburn. I'm an attorney with Plains Justice representing Dakota Resource Council today. And our offices are in Vermilion. Do you need an address or anything like that?
No. Okay. Vermilion, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Derek Broughton with Sarah Vogel Law Firm, representing DRC.
Okay.
I'm on the phone, Brad Bartlett from the Energy Minerals Law Center, Counsel for Dakota Resource Council from Durango, Colorado.
All right, thank you. All right, go ahead.
I'm John Schultz with the GTL Energy.
Brian Biello with the Fleck Law Firm in Bismarck, representing GTL Energy.
I'm Blake Williams, the CFO of GTL Energy.
I'm Steve Hovey with GTL Energy.
All right, and then if we have any other participants by phone who would like to have you identify yourself for the record.
Okay, you got Jeff Washman, Casper Field Office Director with the Office of Surface Mining. You have, and I'll let Alan Beams go ahead.
Alan Beams with Office of Surface Mining in Casper.
And
I'm John Sieving, also Casper Field Office.
John, and what was your last name again, please?
Sieving. S-I-E-V-I-N-G.
Yes, thank you. All right, any other people participating by phone with this informal hearing? Anyone else? All right. Esther, do you have a message from Commissioner Kramer? All right, thank you. Commissioner Kramer will be joining us shortly. All right. Now, generally, this is a little bit unusual case. We're holding this informal hearing today so that the commission can get more information about the issue that's before us. And as you are aware, the commission staff issued an opinion on whether GTL Energy Limited, their coal beneficiation facility, was jurisdictional to the commission, and that was issued in early August of 2008. Now, we've had a request that the commission review that determination of our staff, and so I believe the first thing to do would be to go to both parties and have them present information about that jurisdictional issue to the commission. It would be as if you're presenting, what we would call it, Alana, when we would have, it's not like a brief, it's a 10-minute or 15-minute.
I guess it's just an oral
argument.
Summary or statement
oral,
of mm-hmm. their
oral argument is what I was going to say. An oral argument to the commission. And so let's just, the commission, should we start with having each party present thoughts to us for about 15 minutes? And then the commission can ask questions. You know, I think we'd like to do that as we're going through these arguments from both sides.
Makes sense. I would probably have Dakota Resource Council go first as the petitioning party.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm.
Could I ask if anyone on the phone needs the staff memo now has been copied, and whoever needs a copy can take one. But does anyone on the phone need it faxed?
No, we have it here in Casper.
All right. Does everyone around the table already have that document? All right. Fine. Okay. And Dale Wetzel's with the Associated Press, and he's also in attendance at the meeting. All right. And so we'll start first with Dakota Resource Council. And like I say, about 15 minutes. And if you need more time then at the end of that, just indicate that to us, and then we'll determine how we're going to handle that. All right? Go ahead.
May need a bit less. As a preliminary matter, I would like to request leave to represent Dakota Resource Council before the PSC. I'm not currently a member of the North Dakota Bar. I've taken and passed the bar exam, and I'm in the process of becoming a member. And I know that your rules allow attorneys and non-attorneys to represent parties before the commission, and I wanted to make sure it was acceptable to the commission for me to represent Dakota Resource Council today.
The commission, of course, has a decision to make on this, but for an informal hearing, and it's not a formal hearing, I have no problem with that. Do my fellow commissioners have a problem with that?
In fact, I don't think we probably have to take action on it.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, we didn't think, just wanted to make sure that it was up front.
That's just fine.
And also the same is true for Brad Bartlett, who's on the phone, and it would be acceptable for him as well to then participate, too.
Yes, it would.
Thank you. Our understanding of what's important for us today is to understand the procedures going ahead with this. As we understood, this informal proceeding was going to determine how the commission would proceed in a decision on this matter. And our understanding of what needs to happen, what we need to do here, and we'd like the commission's clarification on this if it would like, is that we would like to file a formal complaint with the commission, because we understand we've filed an informal complaint by virtue of our letters and our other communications. Mm-hmm. We'd like to file a formal complaint so that we can lay out in a bit more detail, what our concerns are. We'd also like to include in that complaint an emergency motion to request the commission to issue a cease and desist order for against GTL Energy to stop construction on the site in South Harden. We would submit motion and provide a full briefing on that as well for the commission, full written briefing. Our core concern is that if the commission does not in some manner stay construction, then this decision, then it will no longer have the capacity to make a decision one way or another in this matter.
Right.
And that is our understanding of what we need to do today. We would be happy to discuss some of the additional matters, but we're not sure whether we need to discuss how far we need to go into details if there's going to be no stay on this, on the construction, because some of the procedures are completed, it may be moot.
I understand. I mean, as a practical matter, the reaction to this first issue will depend on whether or not we hear any more. In terms of your arguments for the greater issue at hand, I understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it make sense then at this point to get the other side's response to that, or does our legal counsel want to respond to that?
Well, there's nothing legal to respond. They're entitled to file a complaint. I was hoping that we would hear some of the substantive rationale for the position that it's jurisdictional, even if it's preliminary. Now, maybe you're not prepared or not. Maybe you don't want to do that until you file a complaint. I don't know. But it would sure be helpful to us. But it's within your prerogative, I guess, to decide which way you want to go. We did say that we were hoping you would talk about what process you thought was appropriate, and you're doing that now. Mm-hmm. But that also you would talk about your substantive reasoning behind why you think it's jurisdictional, just so we have better information, and the commission is hearing in a public setting, in the public meeting setting, what your arguments, substantive arguments are. So I don't know if you're prepared to go forward with those.
And if you're not prepared today, well, then that's fine, and then we proceed accordingly. Mm-hmm. But if you are prepared and or would like to today share with us any of what our counsel has just indicated, you're certainly able to do that. But if you would, you know, you don't have to do anything
can
you don't
I,
want
can
to.
Can I ask a question then and ask a question, I guess, of Alana probably. Is likelihood of success in their, it's not like an appeal before a court, but is their likelihood of having success relevant to our deliberation?
On the stay, you mean?
Yes.
Like it is
especially
in a civil
on the
court?
Stay, which is.
Well, I have to read the provisions in the reclamation rules and statute to know that. Jim may know off the top of his head, but I'd have to look them up because I don't have them memorized like Jim does.
You're talking about the direct issue of the stay. So let's just wait
right.
for a moment then and let's.
That's the question.
It is because
oh, it
it's
is.
A substantive issue.
Because in civil court, likelihood of success on the merits is one of the things you need to show to get an injunction. The party does have an opportunity today to go to civil court, and there are four things they show, and I can't remember them all, but likelihood of success is one of them. It was probably on the bar exam, right?
No.
I don't know if it's one of them in front of us.
Okay.
Okay. Today.
It's likelihood of success on the merits, the equities vis-a-vis GTL Energy, the public, you know, whether the public interest supports it, and the general, you know, the equity, the overall equities and the situation.
Are you asking us as maybe I missed it, and so I appreciate Commissioner Kramer's clarifying question, but are you asking us today to make a determination of whether or not we should issue a stay?
We've, in writing a couple times now, asked that the commission stay the construction at GTL site. And our understanding is that we can repeat that request. We anticipated, though, that the commission would want to have more information probably than would be done today in oral.
That's what I would.
Argument.
I mean, I'm thinking too. We need more information in order to make that determination.
Well, the staff statement back when DRC has been making that request was that the commission would have to decide that it had jurisdiction over this facility in order to exercise its stay rights under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did not go and review the law to see if there was some additional authority before you conclude something is jurisdictional, okay? Because what I'm familiar with is that you find somebody putting an oil well in the ground without their permanent bond, you have some authority to say don't do that, or building a power plant, you know, the things we work with. That's what they would brief, I think, in their
yes.
motion. That's what they're talking about, briefing.
And the proceeding today is somewhat analogous to a special jurisdiction of a court to determine whether it has jurisdiction. And essentially that's what the proceeding today is about, is for the Public Service Commission to exert jurisdiction to the extent that it gives it that it has the authority to decide whether or not it has jurisdiction.
I might jump in here, too, representing GTL Energy.
Well, we had given them 15 minutes first, so let's just wait a minute and let them finish their thoughts before we go to you. We'll get to you in a minute.
So, you know, that it is a little bit of an unusual situation in that this is the commission needs to decide whether in the first instance it has jurisdiction, and, of course, it has the authority to make that decision on it for itself. And therefore, because it has the authority to make the decision, to determine its own jurisdiction, it also has the authority to investigate the facts of a situation, has the authority to make a legal decision about whether or not it has jurisdiction in this matter. So, that's what we're here today.
Your concept is that if we have the ability to make a determination on jurisdiction, that automatically then gives us the ability to issue a stay until we have made that determination?
Yes.
That's your take on this?
Otherwise, the commission could not preserve its jurisdiction to, you know, a facility that where a party claimed that there was no jurisdiction. The commission would then not be in a position to investigate and to order a party to stop construction pending the commission's full review of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
That is a legal question that we would expect them to provide legal support for, because that's implied powers, not specifically written in the your reclamation law today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good question, because most administrative agencies have the authority that's specifically stated. But I would welcome their analysis, I'd expect them to provide some basis.
And so we'd be happy to provide review. That.
And that's right. What I understood you were trying to do. If you did a motion for the stay,
yes.
You would support it with a brief.
Yes.
That was your theory. Okay.
Okay. So at the present time, we have an informal complaint from you, but we do not have a formal complaint, which
right.
You indicate.
That's correct.
And you also indicate that you might be making a motion to stay, and then you would be filing a brief with that.
Yes, to support the motion.
To support the motion. And then your question is, if you did those things, how would the commission proceed?
Yes, and we'd also like to request that should the commission proceed, that it proceed in an expedited manner. And I believe that GTL Energy has also requested that this proceeding be moved forward as quickly as possible. So that mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth, so that the situation is resolved and questions about what will happen here are put to bed.
All right. Do you have anything further that you'd like to share with the commission right now before we would hear from GTL on these matters of how they think we should proceed? We can come back to you, so if you have an extra thought.
I have nothing more right now.
All right, so what we'll do is now we'll allow GTL a chance to share with us their thoughts on this matter. And then we will come back and give you another 5 minutes or whatever if you have other thoughts you'd like to share with the commission. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Next, we'll go to GTL Energy, and who's going to be speaking in their behalf?
Well, I guess I'll speak at least as to the procedural matters.
All right.
I guess initially the DRC chose to do this informal complaint procedure. They could have done a formal. They could have gone to court. They chose this procedure, so that's why we are here today. We are here today and prepared to defend the decision that was made by the Reclamation Director in totality, and that's why these people are here. We were not led to believe this was to be an issue of procedure, but an issue of substance should the Reclamation Director's decision potentially be reversed or not. So we are here today fully prepared to move ahead on the issue at hand, which they raised. They did not raise a procedural issue in this appeal. They filed an informal complaint. And there's a process and procedure, as we're all familiar with, in the PSC rules and regulations to do so. And that is why we are here. We would object to any sort of treating this as merely a matter of defining the procedure to move forward. We would prefer, and it is our desire, to present our case today. I would mention that under our reading of the enforcement powers of the Commission under North Dakota's Surface Mining and Reclamations Operations Act, Chapter 3814.1, it is our interpretation, and I believe it's well-founded, that the commission could not issue a stay unless and until it were to reverse the decision of the reclamation director and find that the proposed facility does constitute a surface coal mining operation. I believe we're on solid ground in our interpretation of the Siting Act to that effect. And obviously we would be adamantly opposed and to any sort of preliminary stay. I would mention that the DRC has known about this matter at least since August 29, 2008, when they filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the commission. We submit they have not timely perfected the appeal that they are here today on, but we will certainly argue the merits. So they were aware of this decision for over 6 weeks. I'm talking about the Reclamation Director's decision. For over 6 weeks before they did anything with you. Then construction commenced on October 14. So thus, we submit that any rights that DRC may have had with respect to an appeal of the determination of the reclamation director was not timely perfected under state law and regulations and is thus barred by principles of estoppel, latches, and waiver.
Is there a time period listed in the anywhere in our rules or in our reclamation law for the
Under the more formal procedures, I believe it's 30 days, if I can speak correctly.
Rehearing 15 and appeal 30.
But if there's a decision on a permit application, revision application, there's a 30-day appeal period. That's pretty common.
So they were, as of at least August 29, when they became aware of this decision, they had time to act and chose not to do so. As I say, we are here because of the way they postured this question, which was to seek to overturn the reclamation director's decision, seek to persuade you to do that, that we are here today, ready and prepared, to defend that decision, and it is our preference to go ahead and do that today.
Well, let's just talk through a little bit now what some options are for the commission and kind of thinking about how sometimes these things play out. An informal hearing is just that. And any party, let's say the commission goes ahead and holds an informal hearing, it can always be at the any party who is a part of an informal hearing can ask for a formal hearing. Because an informal hearing is not sworn under testimony. Although I'm a great hearing officer for an informal hearing, we don't have the official rules that would be followed in a procedural court case, et cetera, notice, those kinds of things, all right? So we could proceed today, but it's my understanding that then if anyone around the table chose to ask for, do this in a more formal manner, they could. So it's a matter of if one party is not prepared today and we would move ahead, they could probably, as they're asking for, if they can file in a formal complaint. And so therefore...
Or if they're dissatisfied with our conclusion.
You know, whatever. So Lana, would you like to comment on that further?
Well, no. I'm the one that has been preaching to you that, if there's a factual, I think the way you want to say it, though, is there's a factual dispute at an informal hearing. Those facts can't be decided without sworn testimony. And so the person that's disputing the facts will probably ask for that. And that was one of the reasons we talked about asking DRC when they said treat our letter as an informal complaint kind of a thing or informal request for consideration. Was to ask if in their minds or in their thought, they thought a hearing was necessary. So a little bit of this was about procedure because part of the letter they sent to OSM was about not having notice, public notice, and not having a hearing. Okay? The other part was about closed meetings and things, but the commission didn't have a closed meeting. It was a staff decision. But the notice and hearing part is what triggered me to say, when you come to the informal, you tell us if you think a notice is required. I wasn't thinking so much complaint, but they do have a right to file a complaint on if they think they need to. And if a hearing is required for a jurisdictional determination, okay, because we have not had notices or hearings on jurisdictional determinations. We have a lot of precedent, not notices or hearings on jurisdictional determinations. So both sides are kind of on the right page. I just think there's more than one issue here. However, I was also hoping that DRC would be prepared to address the substance if they either didn't think notice and hearing was required or the commission concluded to deny, not to give notice and hearing, and they have an opportunity. We tried to give them as fast an opportunity, staff did, to get an audience with the commission in a legal forum as we possibly could. And so... if there's a concern about delay, I would hope that neither party contributes to that delay. And I do think a complaint can contribute to it in some way. the notice period is longer. The hearing can only be 45 days, can't be sooner than 45 days. So you, so that part can drag it out as opposed to shortening it up. I still would hope that we could hear, but what you are saying about the informal hearing and the is correct, that that if you have a dispute of facts, you can't decide, the commission cannot decide disputed facts without record evidence. People agree on the record evidence, as they often do in our informal hearings. I don't think there's any problem with the commission basing a decision on it. But if there's disputed evidence, and I don't know if there is in this case, but if there is, then you could have a request for a hearing through that route.
Mm-hmm. Yes, let's hear comments now from both sides, and we'll start first with Dakota Resource Council.
Thank you. As a preliminary question, if through this informal process we can get a final agency action?
As an appealable action?
Yes.
That's what I'm asking your opinion on, basically. I mean,
right. We aren't sure of the answer to that today, frankly.
Okay.
And it may be something that is not clear in law,
yeah,
as to whether, you know, an informal action could result in something that a court would feel comfortable with afterwards. You know, because there is no record, and because there is, you know, not a formal agency action.
I cannot remember when an informal action has been of the commission has been appealed directly.
No,
and that's
it is just
that's why
happen.
There's no way to look and see what it really means.
Right, and that's one of the confusing issues here is that our understanding is that the director has no authority to decide the commission's jurisdiction. There is no process under law. There's no rule within the commission's procedures for a staff member to decide what the agency's authority, with the commission's authority is. That doesn't mean that a staff member can't issue an opinion and can't have it be an advisory opinion to another party, but there is no authority within the commission's procedures or law for a staff member to determine what the commission's jurisdiction is. It's up to the commission itself to decide what its jurisdiction is. And since the staff does not have authority to make the decision, there really was no basis for appeal of that decision, as there would be in another sort of agency where you would have a formal appeal process within the agency, other than to assert that GTO was then taking illegal actions and requesting and then filing a complaint with a commission. This seemed to be our only procedural mechanism to pursue resolution here. And so in that regard, I mean, I am obviously new to North Dakota Public Service Commission procedures and practice. I understood this informal hearing to be something akin to a pre-hearing conference in a utility matter, where the commission would come together and hear the parties and decide how to set up the process and to understand the situation in a more informal way, you know, before issuing any decision about what the procedure would be or what the schedule would be for the matter.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I guess our point is that I don't think there's no secret that in the informal hearing process, the formal hearing process, or going to court is clearly laid out in PSC rules and guidelines. I don't think there's any secret here or any unknown. They simply chose to go this method, this informal. If they wanted to have a, you know, full-blown hearing, they could have. Why didn't they file a formal complaint? We're here at their instance, they have chosen to take the informal route. And in my experience in informals, you do get into the merits. It's not strictly a procedural matter because the informal process is laid out in the rules and regs. So they could have filed a formal complaint. I believe they could have gone directly to court, at least based on my reading of Alana's memo, and I believe she's right. They could have done that. Sought a stay or whatever. They chose, whatever reason, not to do that. I don't think there's any hidden procedures or unknown procedures here. They had multiple venues to proceed on and chose this one. And so that's why we are here today.
Do you contend, Brian, that that by going this route, they then are released of their opportunity to go the formal route if they're not pleased with the outcome of the informal route?
Oh, I haven't
or
read
that. Do they deserve that?
I believe there's a right to take an informal to formal, isn't I believe?
Well,
I can't recall offhand.
It makes sense when a party desires to try to resolve something informally to try to do that first.
It's just it's unusual when in a contested case that the that the people that are going to be making the decision in both cases would. That's the only thing that's awkward. I don't know that it's wrong, but it's awkward.
Well, and the commission can decide that it needs a formal notice and hearing without a complaint.
Yes.
And that's another thing I thought that perhaps you were going to talk about today, that if you thought that this process in the reclamation law needs an informal notice and hearing, that you would tell us that and explain why, and the commission could consider that with short of a formal complaint. Yes. So that's another possibility.
I think we didn't want to be presumptive about that because the commission could have, in response to GTL Energy's request, as it did last year, docket the matter and treat it as an application, even though it wasn't captioned as such. It's also possible for the commission to institute an investigation of this matter on its own recognizance, and that would also be possible from Dakota Resources Council point of view and within the legal capacity of the organization in this proceeding. The only thing that we can do in terms of creating a formal process, I believe, would be a formal complaint. I don't think a petition would be appropriate in this circumstance. So if the commission chose another formal procedural route, that would be acceptable and you know, that's something that that's an option for the commission, but it's your decision, not ours.
Can I ask, is it the commission's decision to take a formal procedural route or could it just simply be the commission decides it doesn't have anything actionable to right now? I mean, that in this format, we're not taking action on anything. It's not a formal complaint. It's the director's decision is what it is, and until we get a actual complaint, we can't do anything about it. Is that a route to go?
Well, I think. Okay, let's back up to this because it was my recommendation to just send the letter out, and I'll take full responsibility, and I stick by it. You had an analogous situation. I managed a division, a substantive division, for 16 years. You have an analogous situation. You have no change in circumstances. You have nothing that triggers in your mind, uh-oh, different situation, I better go to the commission. So the decision of the staff went out, I think, appropriately. But anybody who happens to be affected by that can say, oh, wait a minute, I want this going to the commission. And there's many ways it can go. It can go by complaint. It can go by asking us, please take it to the commission, put it on a meeting, which is all we ever did with any other jurisdictional. There were no notices or hearings. There was simply that step of going on the admin agenda with your staff recommendation and getting the commission to bless it or not. Okay? That's all that ever happened. There was nothing more formal than that. But a party can ask for that. That's what I saw you doing in this letter. So I think a party can go to the commission and say, please, your staff did something, but I want you to look at it. And then I want you to look at it with a formal notice. I want you to look at it with a formal hearing, or I want you to look at it with an informal discussion. They didn't ask for this. They didn't specifically ask for any of those things. They just said, I think, please look at it.
Whoever chose the route, if it's taken in the most informal route and the commission makes a decision one way or another at that, is that then the trigger point that a party has an opportunity to appeal that to a court, or is that...
I don't know for
that's
sure.
That's the question. That
that's one of the big questions, and there isn't precedent.
Is if they get an answer out of this venue, is that the actionable item that they then have that's an answer from the commission? Commission.
And we know from other types of, let's say, when we go through the mining law, we're all familiar with the informal hearings that can be held about a, let's say, a permit application. Mm-hmm. And in those, the commission has chosen not to participate in those informal hearings. We've had an administrative law judge participate. And then if the parties are all satisfied with that decision, then that decision sticks. If that decision, one party or another, is not satisfied with it, it goes before the commission in a formal hearing at that time. So that's the way it's worked with in cases that have been in permit applications where people have had questions about what's in the permit. We first try to resolve them informally. If both parties are not satisfied, then it goes to the commission and you hold a hearing on that matter. And that's happened on a couple of occasions. That process has been followed.
That's what I mean. This is a little awkward when you have a contested case for us to be having an informal that may be prior to a formal.
And there are no specific provisions in the reclamation law rules that deal with jurisdictional determinations. Sure. Those procedures deal with
permit applications,
notice of violation, sure, that type of thing. But
right,
there again, it's a situation. I think nowhere in the law, like I say, there's no specific procedures, and going through the preamble to the OSM rules, they repeatedly indicated that, the regulatory authority is going to have to make jurisdictional determinations, but nowhere in that discussion do they give any guidance on what procedure should be used either.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as far as I know, when this matter has come before other states or OSM, that it's, mm-hmm, just agency reviews what they have and make the determination, then I guess go from there with it. If somebody's aggrieved, there's got to be, like I say, some mechanism to appeal. But
mm-hmm.
And DRC is concerned about this, not only with regard to this matter, but also future matters, because obviously GTL Energy's intent is to prove that this is a commercially viable technology and then expand the use of the technology and build additional facilities. So this is not the last time.
Mm-hmm.
If they're successful, this is not the last time that this question will arise.
Well, and there may be other coal type of facilities that are needed in this state or not connected or whatever it is, And so it's important for us to try to get this right.
Mm-hmm. And it is our understanding also that other than the decision made by the commission here last year, in the rest of the United States, this is very much there haven't been other circumstances, and perhaps OSM could speak to this, for this type of facility where the local jurisdiction hasn't come up very often, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, the OSM has accepted jurisdiction over different sorts of coal processing facilities at mine sites. So, if this is a new commercial wave of the future, it's a matter that's going to have to be resolved repeatedly, or at least maybe resolved once and for all, and then it's clear to everybody what the situation is.
Well, from the discussion today, I'm so happy that the commission never makes a decision at informal hearings anyway. We always wait to make a decision either at, at a work session or something following. But procedurally, we do sometimes make decisions about different issues. We don't make substantive decisions, but we do make procedural decisions sometimes at informal hearings. It seems to me in this case, and I'm welcome to the impressions of my fellow commissioners as well as Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, who's advising us on this, is that we can proceed today substantively on this matter, but we've had an indication from one party that they're not ready and that they may wish to proceed in a more formal matter. Council has indicated to us that if you choose to proceed in that more formal manner, that it will take additional time. I think the question of the stay in my mind is intertwined with the decision about jurisdiction here, and so I wouldn't be prepared today to make a decision about whether or not to issue that stay. So, because I think that's a rather important part of this whole concept. So my recommendation would be that we would, if we need a little few more minutes to talk about process, we could, but otherwise we would adjourn the informal hearing. And now that people have had a chance to talk about how they, you know, recommendations of how to proceed, we allow you the time to do what you feel you need to do. And then we would, if we receive something from you in the next, I don't know how long, whatever time you choose to take, then you've already heard the arguments from the opposing, from GTL. Here, they already think you've taken too long to make a determination. So,
Can I make
sure?
One comment, Blake Williams from GTL Energy. From a procedural point of view, is that not what should be determined firstly, whether they are in time in making their appeal?
Generally, we've left those kind of things up to...
I think we'd have to hear arguments.
Right. Yeah,
sides
yeah,
before
yeah. There's no specific, that I could find, specific time frame, because from saying staff has done something, we want the commission to look at it. And I do need to say for everyone's here, and I may be repeating, but jurisdictional determinations are made by staff, thousands of them, all day long, every day, that don't go to the commission. And so we could all use your guidance in what you think, how you think it should go to the commission if there's one that should go to the commission. And then I'm not hearing a lot of discussion about that, but that would be a very helpful thing to have the parties say. You're the people with the stakes in the situation.
I think it's also important to point out that even though DRC, this quasi-formal, the informal part has started fairly recently, through the information request, through conversations with staff, through emails, through filing with the Federal Office of Surface Management, this certainly, GTL Energy understands that we've had concerns about the situation for some time now. And if the informal discussions of this failed, then perhaps a more formal procedure will help to resolve and flesh out the issues that face the commission.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, Alana, to me, I think you laid it out in your emails to everyone that they have multiple approaches, and they chose this one. What we've got here is a situation of, when this GTL first considered this, reading of the mining law was we didn't think it was jurisdictional. But we, rather than just proceed ahead without that, we said we've got to take this to the commission and seek a jurisdictional determination. It'd be out to the public. My heavens, all you have to do is read the PSC's ongoing website or subscribe to their free emails, and you know this was on back in late July. I mean, it's a very simple process for any citizen in the state or the country to find out what's going on here. You just get the free emails or the published docket sheets. But anyway, we rather than proceed strictly on our own reading, we chose to come to the commission to make it public, to seek a decision, laying out the parameters of the facility. We did so. A determination was made. We believe it's a correct determination. So this was a full and above board to the public process, and we are here today, and due to significant delays on the part of DRC, we are now under construction. To stay the process, that this is a $15 million construction project. To stay it at this point after this lengthy delay by the DRC would be extremely harmful to GTL monetarily and as a business process. The desire to see if this clean coal technology truly works on a commercial scale. So the monetary harm at this point to stay this is huge. And so obviously we would be very opposed to a stay. And as I read to you earlier, our reading of the enforcement powers that you have under the mining law would require you to first reverse the decision of the reclamation director, and then you have cease and desist powers in there should you choose to utilize them. To me and to us, this is just another example of seeking to string this out as long as they possibly can, being the DRC. When they had multiple options already. We could be in court now. We could have been in court a month ago, 6 weeks ago, had they chose to do so. We are here.
People, we all understand that though people need opportunity to get their facts together and such. I'm not sure if it was 6 weeks ago or whatever would have been the right time, but people do need some notice and opportunity to learn more about a case. And so I understand that sometimes public-spirited groups don't have all the information that a company does when it first files something. So I'm willing to give some concern to their desire for a little bit more time for that reason.
So I understand, if there is a question before the commission today, is it the question about whether we should move forward with a stay? I mean, to the degree that we have being asked to answer something today, is that it?
I thought that they wanted to make a motion and put their supporting argument in a form of a brief for authority. Because today, if I had to make that recommendation to you today as counsel, you do not have authority before you have concluded that you have jurisdiction.
That's what I would say.
So if there is an argument for how you get that authority before, they need to present it to us so we can review and see if it makes sense and they can respond to it or agree and change their mind or whatever they want to do over there. But so I thought that question was still not officially asked because I was assuming DRC wanted the opportunity to put all that their argument together to bring to you. I think the main question before you today is how do you want to proceed? You do have the question of jurisdiction now squarely in front of you because the staff decision has been, they've been asked to go to you as opposed to listening staff. How do you want to proceed to answer that? There's one theory from Brian, which is to let's address it now. There's a theory of a complaint, and there are some other options, like decide on your own to have a hearing, a notice and hearing, if you choose to do that. Any other options?
I understand. But I think in this particular case that perhaps we should just wait until a formal complaint would come in, which is what the party has said that they wish to do. Otherwise, we have nothing to act upon. Right.
I mean, as a practical matter, here's what I would say, just as a practical matter. It appears to me that if we were to answer the jurisdictional question today, whatever that answer is not going to be acceptable to somebody and we'll be going to a formal hearing anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that seems fairly clear to me. So, I mean, I'm not opposed to doing that now. I'm just not sure how helpful.
Probably, it's pretty likely, yes. Yeah. I agree with you.
So therefore, I'd say it'd be in the best interest of the commission to wait until we can have formal argument, from some type of argument from both parties. If they had both been prepared today at an informal and people could have agreed that this was the uniform they wanted to use, that would be one thing. But I've definitely gotten the sense that that is not the case.
Furthermore, I mean, without that, I agree. I don't see how we can issue a stay if we, as it stands, we don't have jurisdiction. At least that's the opinion of staff. And
So is that clear as mud, how the commission wishes?
I guess our only point, Commissioner, is that they chose this informal process, strictly raising the issue of the reclamation director's decision, and that's why we're here.
I understand that, but however, we've always recognized as a commission that if anyone who participates in an informal hearing wishes then to ask for a formal proceeding, that they can.
They're not legally exclusive.
They are not legally exclusive.
No way.
Right.
The commission offers this as a opportunity to have a meeting of the minds on issues or to present issues in a forum that is mutually acceptable to parties. But if it isn't, then we've always recognized that and gone to a formal.
See, I'm happy to decide it today if we hear arguments. I just don't believe that would be the conclusion. Otherwise, I'd say let's have at it.
What's the formal procedure then in terms of their informal appeal included some points as to why they thought the director's decision was incorrect, and we assume they were here to reiterate or expand on them, and we're happy to have the discussion. Is there some requirement on them to present their position in advance, or
No.
At what point do we hear what their issues are?
Right. If they ask for a formal complaint, then you have an opportunity to do the same type of thing that you would in a court case, you have it for discovery, et cetera.
And we have a quite strong incentive to, to accomplish and complete a complaint and provide briefing as quickly as possible because of the time
you're
that's passing.
About the time passing. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So we have a strong incentive to do this very quickly.
And if there's a complaint filed, is there a set time set out for notice?
What happens, unless Jim has special laws, and I don't have them, I haven't looked at them for many years. Sorry, Jim. Complaints?
No.
Okay. Complaints, the first thing that happens is they get filed. They don't necessarily get served. They get filed here, and they come to the commission for a statement that it states a prima facie case, that it is about something, not jurisdiction, but something less, but something you can
do
something about. You could do a special meeting on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then it is served on the respondent, and then there is a 20-day period for answering the complaint. That's all in law, not in our procedural rules. But if you decide to have a hearing, you can't have that sooner than 45 days from service of the complaint unless you have the agreement of the parties. And, we could have an agreement of the parties. But it conceivably could take 60 days, because it comes in, you get the statement of prima facie, you get it served, you have a few days added for that, and even if you had the hearing scheduled right away when you were serving it, it's got to be at least 45 days later, or 48 days if you count service by mail. So there's a time frame built into the formal complaint process. It is longer than a normal notice for notice and hearing process, okay? And the one concern that you should think about that they raised in the OSM letter was public notice. So complaints don't necessarily give you public notice. They're A versus B. If there is an issue of public notice, you have a different thing happening. You publish something. And so that's something you should keep in mind that I hope the parties will also address when they make their filing.
Well, on that matter, though, when the commission holds a public meeting and says we're declaring this item as a prima facie case.
Oh, yeah.
And when we set the notice for the hearing, that becomes because the commission sets a time and a date for a hearing, that becomes public notice.
I agree with you,
public,
but that's the same public notice.
It's not
we've
public.
Had of all these other issues that were considered insufficient,
right.
But are legitimate.
And it doesn't have to go in the newspaper in a certain number of places, et cetera. It goes on a commission agenda.
Right. But that's true with the filing of the letter. That's true with what Brian is saying when the letter was filed in July, that people should read the agenda and know that it's out there.
Well, especially people that have made a profession of doing this sort of thing.
Right.
I share some of Brian's frustration in that regard. But, with all due respect, public spirited and the public are two different things. public-spirited groups that do this as a matter of profession ought to be, frankly, better informed than you seem to be here. But that being said, that's why I think this process today would be futile, and we ought to just move ahead with the
form. And I think the short answer then to time frame is, you know, it even if you do it quickly, it's going to take 1 to 2 months on a complaint, even if people agree on dates and things like that.
And those ones
from when it's filed.
A lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The schedules. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, anything else before we close? Let's just have a few final comments if you are from either party. Would you like to go first, GTL?
Well, again, I understand. I see where the commission is headed with this. It is our desire to proceed substantively today, to state again our position, and then again, typically, it's my understanding, in an informal hearing process, there is some sort of resolution of that informal hearing process, which could potentially move on to a formal complaint. So it is certainly our desire, again, to proceed substantively today and for an ultimate rendering of a decision of whether or not to affirm the Director of Reclamation. I restate again our we believe this appeal is out of time and to the severe detriment of GTL potentially. And we also submit that the DRC lacks standing under North Dakota law by which to perfect this appeal, as we do not believe it is directly interested, nor is it a factually aggrieved person under the law. So we believe for that reason as well, its pursuit here fails. So again, it is our request, due to the fact we are under construction, we have severe monetary contractual commitments, to proceed today to a decision. Thank you.
Now, Brian, if I can just ask quick, though, if we didn't have this and if the commission doesn't reach a substantive decision today, you're no worse off than you would have been had DRC chosen to file a formal complaint, you know, a week ago or next month, are you? I mean, it's just so you don't have a, for all intents and purposes, a preliminary decision that in all likelihood would get appealed anyway and go through a formal hearing. I guess my point is that the things that it sounds to me like you're trying to hedge against are really things that aren't in your control anyway, because there's this legal proceeding which can only be kicked off by an appealing party. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I mean, I do.
I understand your point that you'd like resolution, but really it's not in either GTL or the commission's hands to control that, is it?
No, I understand that there are some procedural rights that are out of our control, certainly. My only point is they brought us here on this one.
Well, sometimes we can resolve a lot of issues at an informal hearing, and sometimes we can't. Mm-hmm. So, do you have any final comments?
Yeah, some final comments on the equity. Yeah, yes, DRC filed informal comments had a variety of communications to try to resolve the situation informally rather than going through a formal process, and that does not seem to, it does not appear that that's going to produce a decision, so we need to move ahead with a more formal process. And in terms of the equities, as I said, GTL Energy certainly knew quite a while ago that there were various concerns about this. The public, the landowners in the area of South Hart have not had an opportunity for the Public Service Commission to discuss the impacts of the facility on them. We believe there are a variety of factual disputes related to the relationship between the coal mine and GTL Energy. You know, there are a number of issues that we plan to raise in a formal complaint, and we believe that the public has a right to have a more formal and open, not open, but more formal and exhaustive process to determine the appropriate procedures here, but also the appropriate outcome in terms of the commission's jurisdiction. Like I said, if they are successful in their commercialization, there could be very many facilities like this, since it's intended to help make North Dakota coal be transportable outside of the state. It could rapidly result in the rapid expansion of coal mining in North Dakota. And we think that that is an important issue that should be discussed more thoroughly.
All right. Well, I think we are at the end of what we can accomplish today. And so if my fellow commissioners would agree, I'm planning to adjourn this meeting. Do you have any further thoughts you would like to share, Commissioner Clark, before I do that?
Thank you.
Any Commissioner Kramer?
No, I think that's exhausted.
Then let's any further thoughts from Commission Counsel?
No.
All right. Then
Jim?
Jim?
I just had one clarification. When I said there was no complaint provisions, I guess no complaint provisions for a matter like this. If somebody alleges that there's a violation of ongoing mine, there is a complaint process.
Yes, we understand that.
I just wanted to clarify.
This is a jurisdictional issue versus a complaint on the mine. Exactly. Okay. All right. And so with that, the commission is adjourning.